Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, in the afterglow of our Savior's birth, we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful hope of salvation that you have given us in this Christ child. As we enter upon this new year, we pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, by the preaching of your word, that you would fix this Savior in our hearts and give us always the eyes of faith to look forward to the eternal home he has come to win for us. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen. Your fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and his kindness and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. A number of years ago, I was at a soccer game with my children and ran into an old high school friend of mine that I hadn't seen for many years. And as we began to talk, he told me that one of his children, a daughter, had been born with some serious health complications. And he had been told by the doctor when she was very little that she may not live to be a teenager. And I just talked to him about how difficult that must have been, how hard to have that sentence from the doctor hanging over this young girl's entire life. And he said there was one blessing from it, and that was that it helped you to keep everything in its proper perspective. And he used an expression, he says, it helps you to live your life with the big picture in mind. The big picture in mind. Tonight, as we celebrate the presentation of our Lord Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem, an event that oftentimes is overshadowed by all the great joy of his birth and so on. But this is a very significant event, and the early church often took time to celebrate it with a very special church service as well. And as that Christ child is brought into the temple, we think of this young couple, Mary and Joseph, the joy of having a baby, just like any couple today, and all the excitement that goes with that, and all of the duties that surrounded that. And as this elderly man, Simeon, now takes this Christ child into his arms, he puts everything in perspective about this child's life. And he puts the big picture of our Lord's mission in mind for us. And he prophesies about the work that this little baby had come to do, the great mission of atoning for all of our sins. And he even says to Mary those very penetrating words, "A sword shall pierce through your own soul also." I often wonder if Mary, as she knelt at the foot of the cross, watching her only son die, the very one that she had observed be such a holy and perfect child in the home, if those words of Simeon didn't run again through her heart and mind, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. And Simeon here keeps in perspective the big picture of what this birth of the Christ child was all about. That he had come for no other purpose than to be a sacrifice for our sins. And we are not to be short-sighted with him and with his life. And so just as the Christmas joy is settling in of the birth of this baby, we are reminded of the horrors, the coming horrors of Good Friday. A lot of times people wish that we knew a little bit more about Jesus' childhood and what it was like for him to be a teenager. I often have students in my Life of Christ class ask questions. What was it like for Jesus growing up? How come the Bible doesn't tell us more? Why didn't the Holy Spirit fill in more of those years? We just hear about him as this tiny little baby, and then at age 12, and then all of a sudden he's grown up. Some theologians speculate that this issue may be the very reason for that. That God didn't want us focusing on the non-essential things about the work of Christ, but that our attention and focus should always be on what his ultimate mission was in this world. And that was the cross. Even among Jesus' disciples, so often they are focused on the wrong things. And Jesus so frequently has to redirect their thoughts and their attention back to his coming death on Calvary. It never is out of his mind that that's why he has come. Well, let's turn our attention briefly then to Simeon himself, this elderly man who holds the Christ child in his arms on this special event. He's nearing the end of his earthly life, had been promised by God that he would get to see the Lord's Christ before he left this earth. He was one, we know, that along with Anna, the prophetess, they were some who truly understood the real mission and purpose of the Messiah, that he hadn't come to fulfill some great nationalistic ideas about the Jewish people rising in some power. He hadn't come to somehow make this world better for people. All of the misconceptions that many of the Jewish people of that day had about the coming Messiah. But instead, they knew by faith his real reason and his real purpose for being on the earth. And they were patiently waiting for him to come. In a certain sense, Simeon personifies the Old Testament believer for us. He is kind of the epitome of what the Old Testament faith was all about. Just patiently waiting for the Lord Jesus to arrive. And he also stands, you might say, at the crossroads in the church. The crossroads between the Old Testament faith and the New Testament faith. The two not exactly identical, and yet the New Testament faith clearly coming out of the Old Testament. And here he stands at that crossroads where the faith is now shifting into the church of the New Covenant. And he holds in his very arms everything that the temple itself and everything that Old Testament worship and the Old Testament writings themselves had prophesied about. Christ is the temple. We hear that later in the book of Revelation, that in heaven, Christ himself is the temple. And everything about this temple and all of its sacrifices and all of its worship and the Holy of Holies and everything else was really Christ. And that was where God was to be found in the world prior to our Lord's arrival. And so Simeon epitomizes for us what the life of a believer is to be all about, not to be distracted by the things of this world, not to be short-sighted, but waiting for God's salvation to arrive. And so tonight, let us draw lessons for ourselves from both this child and Simeon who holds him in his arms. We've just entered upon a new year, 2013. I used to wonder if I'd get to see that year years ago, 2013. And maybe you look ahead in your life and think, what year am I going to get to see someday down the road? Whenever we enter into a new year, we've got kind of dreams and hopes and plans of things that we would like to see happen for us. Maybe certain things we'd like to accomplish, not only resolutions, but expectations that we have. But sometimes along with that, it becomes very challenging for us to stay focused on what is really essential, what really matters in life, what we should be spending the most focus and attention on. And I know that's true for lay people, and trust me, it's no different for clergy. There's so many things in this life and in this world that we can acquire and get and have and aim for and strive for. It is so easy for me to let my heart and my mind drift back to this life and all the stuff I can have in this life and all the plans that I think that I can make for myself in this life and all the things that I hope to have happen. And I think maybe the younger that we are, the more short-sighted we can be tempted to be. Although I'm in my 50s and I'm still challenged with that. Our sinful flesh is like a magnet back to the things of this life. Excuse me. And so as we begin another year, let us come before God with a sincere repentance of all of the clutter, all of the debris that gets in the way of our attention on our Savior and the wonderful hope of salvation he's come to bring for us. Through the Word of God, regularly in our lives, let us cleanse our thoughts and our hearts from all the things that would distract us and clutter up our spiritual lives. And refocus ourselves and our lives and our hearts and our minds on the beautiful home of heaven that the Savior has come to prepare for us. That friend of mine, that high school friend, buried his daughter only a couple of years after that. She was only 13 years old. And what a blessing for her and for them that he and his wife were granted by God the spiritual sight of a Simeon to be focused on this child and everything that Christ had come to win for their daughter. And that they had the bigger picture always in mind for her through use of God's word and sacraments. And like Simeon tonight, may you and I, by God's grace, take up the Christ child in our spiritual arms through faith and hold on to him who's come to purchase heaven for us, knowing and trusting the fact that he's come to pay for every sin we've ever committed, and by faith in him, be faithful unto death, and we will receive the crown of life he has come to win. Amen.